Tonight I want to talk about hidden wounds. Hidden wounds. Now, in dealing with this, we need to understand that every human being has hidden wounds. You got to know that. How God heals your hidden wounds. Now, for one thing, you cannot go to a physical medical doctor to get healed from the hidden wounds. The hidden wounds are the wounds of your heart, the wounds of your mind, the wounds within your spirit itself. They're the memories that still hurt. Every one of us have memories that still hurt. We can look back, we can think forward, and you know, the younger they are, they'll look back and think as they grow a little bit older and say, I was warned of that. And, you know, I mocked my mother. I mocked my father when they made such a statement that this was going to happen. Why didn't I treat them better? Why didn't I act better than I had acted? Hidden wounds, again, are the memories. The memories that hurt. The type of hurt, though, folks, that can pull you down faster than an automobile accident. Okay, where do we get the hidden wounds of life? We get them from everywhere. You get them at work. People mean at work. People trying to get your job. You know, they look at you and they pat you on the back. Yes, I'm your best friend. And then they find out a way of trying to get your job. Or in society itself, when you're living in a society to where you don't feel in, a part of it, you and I are Christians in here, people. Therefore, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We deal with a society mainly that we do not believe in, but we are living with. So we will have a whole lot of hurt that'll come from that society. You hurt and I hurt because of child abortion. You hurt and I hurt because of euthanasia. You'll see more of it within the generations to come, where medication will be withheld from a certain person at a certain age and given to the younger who can contribute more to society than you can. The age seems to be that they're talking about is 70. At the age 70 and you get too sick, you better go to the Indian medicine man, thank you, and see if he can fix you up. Now, will that affect, who will that affect? It will not affect the wealthy. It will not affect, as long as there is a middle class that much. I don't foresee it within our generation, but I do foresee it within Hunter's. My grandson, I do foresee it even within my son's generation to where no longer will the seniors be given the respect. They will be given ridicule. Why should we keep you alive when you do not produce in this society? Well, they forgot something. If it hadn't been for the elderly of each society, they wouldn't have had a society to grow up in. That's a different sermon. I'll get away from it real quick here. Okay, then here's where you will get those hidden wounds. Family members. The family member wounds are the most hurtful. These are the ones that will stick with you and hurt the most. Everybody has hidden wounds. Everybody, right? In God's many names, this name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals. Remember something about who God is in our life. Our God, our Creator, is a God that delves into every aspect of our life. He is the God that focuses on everything that is going on with us. He is the God who sent His Son, who literally came to earth, went to the cross. But before He went to the cross, folks, Jesus was dealing with every problem you and I have ever dreamed of dealing with, and then more, because He had to conquer every temptation. Temptation that you and I don't have. It's just like the individual that says in tobacco, well, you know, I never did like that stuff, so I never was hooked on it. Okay, shut up then. But with people who are hooked on it, who did like it, who did enjoy it. They got hooked on it. So you condemn them because, and the only reason you're not is simply because you didn't like it. That's the reason you're not. So that doesn't have a thing to say about how much power you have to resist temptation. It's not a temptation to you. If it is not a temptation to you, then why do you condemn others to whom or in whom it is a temptation? Okay. Psalm 147, verse 3. God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Now, the myth that you and I have grown up with, God helps those who help themselves. It is not scriptural. It is not who God is. God helps those who can't help themselves. God, well, you know, you get out there and you do it right. That's sort of like saying you get out there and you work right for the Lord, you get to heaven. You know, you just work your way right on. And we know that that's not true. Okay. Five steps in God's healing process. Let's get into those. First step begin when we reveal our hurt. Now, if I am hurting on the inside, and I'm not talking about, unless it is two of us. Like if I have an individual who has hurt me, then I can go to that individual and I will talk about that. But I'm not going to talk to you, any of you, about a hurt that another individual has caused within my heart. That becomes gossip when I do that. But what I will, Steve told me to, what I will focus on is the individual who hurt you. So what you do is, how in the world are you going to begin to get help with inside yourself or help yourself if you don't reveal your hurt to them? You know, they haven't even apologized to me. What if they don't know that they hurt you? Had you ever said something to somebody and you find out later that it hurt them? You didn't mean it in a hurting way. You didn't mean what you said in a way that would hurt them, but they took it that way. So when they come and apologize to me, then maybe we can work it through. Do they know that they hurt you? Well, I don't know if they do or not. I haven't said anything to them. Well, what do you expect then? That's the trouble with us. We have to face the hurt. We have to deal with the hurt. We must face our feelings head on. Don't you hate doing that? And much easier for me to face somebody else's feelings. See, when I got to face me, that means I got to deal with me. But if I'm looking at somebody else and saying, let me help you through your faults and your failures because your husband sent a list in, and it truly is long. You know, it is the idea that you and I must pay attention and face our feelings head on. Now, be careful. Again, then I always stress this. The hurt that you are having, first you express it to God. Lord, I am hurting. Here's what's going on. It's not that God doesn't know, but God wants you to recognize and to lift the hurt to Him, knowing that you believe that He will help you during that hurt. So we lift it to the Lord, and then I guarantee it's going to go a lot easier. After you lift it to the Lord and get encouragement from God, and then you go to that individual. Because you may go to that individual and that individual's not ready to say, I'm sorry, and will probably hurt you again. We human beings are really messed up. I mean, we will say one thing and we do something else. We will say, I'm sorry, and, this is a great one. I'm sorry if I hurt you. Well, that's why I'm here. Because you hurt me. What do you mean, if? There goes another argument. Be careful with it. I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside. And as I thought about it, my anger burned. Now, I want you to think about King David, because you're going to hear a message Sunday morning on David. This is about that 10-year run that he's in, hiding from Saul, hiding from the enemies of God until he breaks down. And as he breaks down, this is a part of it, my anger burned. It's the anger of preachers will get it. Any Christian can get this, and it's false anger. Why have I followed God and he's led me into this place to preach and proclaim, and nobody likes me? Everybody hates me. Or I'm right in the middle of hell itself. God, I'm angry. Remember Jeremiah crying that out? Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm angry because I don't even want to be preaching. And yet the word inside of me, your word burns like fire and I cannot hold it in. You're not fair. Well, we feel that way so often. Now, we won't say this out openly because we think, well, no, you don't say that stuff or admit it because yet you're mad at God because people are going to think that shame on you. Well, as you all know, I really don't care what people think, but I do like dealing with the truth, don't you? You want people to like you, but if you have to give up your freedom of hurt, your freedom to hurt, to get them to like you, you don't need them liking you. Some people are tired all the time. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, let's get into that. Constant fatigue is because we're using up emotional energy on resentments, grudges, guilt, and past grief. I cannot enjoy the day because my mind won't let me. The spirit within me says, forgive and go on. Move on with your life. I can't do it because you don't know what they did to me. Well, what if Jesus had decided to make that statement? You all, Father, they don't know what they've done to me, so, you know, I just quit. Well, folks, our emotional energy that is pulling us down deals with all what's already happened. Think about it, isn't it? Look in your own individual life. Okay, what has happened. How many can go back and change it? Every one of us, if we thought that we could go back and change something, we'd get in the time translator or a time machine, and we would go back or we'd go forward. I have no idea where I'd go. I would probably go back and see how David was doing, hiding behind the rocks for 10 years, knowing that God called him a man after his own heart. And then God's own son being on the cross and God refusing to intervene until it's completed sort of leaves us high and dry on our foolish small problems that we might have. Anybody go to bed hungry around here? Anybody go to bed cold or without? I know you'll go to bed cold because I got the air conditioner. Yep. Yeah, we go to church and freeze to death every Sunday. So what is our complaints are over the blessings that we have. We have air conditioning in the church. You know, that air conditioner's too cold. That boiler's too hot. That reminds you of the Three Bears. No, and you never get it right. No, gosh, okay. So much energy dealing with those things, we have no energy for the present. So we're tired all the time. You agree with that? Psalm 32:3, when I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me. I moaned all day long. Oh, good gracious. They've been to Vine Grove. Sure as the world. Job 18:4. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. That was one of Job's friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, or Elihu, whichever one. They's telling Job, you're such a mess. You're only hurting yourself with your anger. They didn't know the backstory. He really wasn't guilty of anything, God said. He really wasn't. So he's angry. Well, aren't we angry when we're accused of things we know we didn't do? Aren't we angry? But you and I are commanded by God that we leave the past in the past. If you can't change it, deal with it. And you're not going to go back in the past and change it. What's done is done. And if you don't deal with it and continue to go, it will kill you. Depression will kill you. But that didn't hit at the right time, didn't it? Second step is to release those who have hurt you. Release. Now, okay, here's what I'm saying. This individual over here has hurt me bad. And he's smiling simply because he knows I'm miserable. It makes them happy that I'm miserable. And so therefore, I remain miserable because when I look at them, they're laughing because I'm miserable. Gosh, think of those catch-22s. We've been around in circles all night, haven't we, Gene? With everything. Think of that. Release those who have hurt you. When you keep thinking about what they've done to you, are they not the ones that are controlling you? Are they not still the ones that control your life and you allow it to happen? Romans 12, 17, and verse 19. Never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourselves. You know one of the big reasons for that? If God says, if you do start your revengeful attitude, God says, I will withdraw punishment from that individual. So you don't want to do that. Because, see, God is going to punish us, or he's going to correct the Christian over our foolishness, but he will do it his way. You're not going to do it wrong. So never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Every time I read it, this one's out of the Living Bible. Every time I read this scripture, I realize that, you know, a lot of the anger that some people have had at me, I deserved every bit of it. I deserved every bit. I have over the years, I wish Faye was here, she could amen. I have over the years been a jerk about a whole lot of things. And I've been wrong about a whole lot of things. But you see, God, yes, and God has mercy upon us and God, you know, picks us up and we're going, but what if I get trapped into that? You know, oh gosh, I wish I hadn't said that 20 years ago or this or that or the other. How am I going to preach the word of God if I have to deal into the past instead of going to the future? Do you realize that every one of us are human beings and every one of us are flawing human beings and that God is preparing us for the work for eternity and it's already begun? So therefore, you and I are going to have to deal. How am I going to know how to deal with other jerks if I haven't been a jerk myself, I guess? I remember going into the dog doctor's? Veterinarians, thank you. See those big words throw me out. The veterinarian, and I was upset over my dog, and I was rude. I mean, and he was my friend, and I was rude as I could be with those ebony and all of this. And I left, and I got to thinking, that's horrible. Next day, I go in and take a big thing of fruit to him. Go, and apologize. I said, I'm sorry, I was a jerk. A guy sitting there with his dog, he said, you can be a jerk to me if you'll bring me one of those tomorrow. Like I so, but you recognize it. 1 Peter 2:23, when Jesus suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God. Now, this, you remember when you were seeing scripture where he did not cry out? Doesn't mean from the human standpoint that he didn't make a noise because of the pain, because he had to express everything that you and I would express. He did not cry out, meaning he did not threaten them. Oh, boys, you all are going to be in big trouble because as soon as I say it's finished, the temple's caving in. He didn't do any of that. So he left it in the hands of God. Hebrews 12, 15. A bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. You go home bitter, everybody at the house is miserable. I mean, you go to work bitter, everybody at work is miserable. Third step, if you want to get well, you have to replace old faults with God's truth. Old faults with God's truth. Listen, folks, the thoughts that we have so often are not true. They are not true thoughts. Our mind messes us up and it messes with us. I thought you meant this. I thought you meant that. Our thoughts are messed up. I remember something and I say, I thought you said this to me. I never said that to you. So my thoughts register in my mind one way, but somebody has said something else. Now, why does that work that way? It works that way because when we get in a conversation, we're expecting a certain type of feedback. Do you ever talk to someone who is answering you at the time you're talking? Or helping you with that, you know, they're talking while you're talking and you want to hit them. You know, about, will you shut up and let me finish the statement, then you can do that. But when you get into that, you get to thinking about the old thoughts. Thoughts push out the truth of God. God doesn't care what I think. You all don't care what I think. You care that I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and I stick to his word. You care about that. Well, Brother Larry, what do you think about this? And then as soon as you ask, it says, let me tell you what I think you will believe. I've had that ever since I've been in a ministry. Chaplain Vance, I want to ask you about this certain thing, and I know that you're going to believe just exactly like my belief, and then they tell me what they believe. They didn't care what I thought. All they were wanting was affirmation that, you know, I'm right. They're saying, you know, look, I'm right on this. Will you tell my wife? No, I'm not going to tell their wife. If they're that afraid of their wife, I know good and well I ain't messing with her. They live with her. Gosh, Romans 12:2b, second part of Romans 12. Let God transform you into a new person by doing this, changing the way you think. The new person is in me is changing the old way of thinking. When I became a Christian, when I was a child, I thought as a child, you know, when I grew up, I outgrew childish things and I no longer think as a child. Okay, so the thought process in our mind sometimes, did you ever get raised on an ideology, you know, and growing up? And then you read something in Scripture and you find out that that was wrong. It really wasn't Scripture or any of that. But because of your thoughts, you think that you're going to dishonor the name of a grandparent or a great-grandparent if you say in yourself, you know, they were wrong, that you will dishonor them. We think more sometimes on dishonoring our family loved ones than we do care about dishonoring God's truth. That's why those who stood for the word of God had very few friends. And the very few friends that they have or had are friends at a distance. Because of Jesus, what would they keep hitting him with? They would hit Jesus with the idea of, Lord, go straighten this deal out. Am I appointed judge among you all? I'm not here to do that, he says. Okay, so then they upset people. I guess they got mad at him because, well, you know, Mary and Martha, yeah, they were good looking. You raised their brother from the dead. How come you didn't raise my brother? Can you imagine what Jesus had to go through during all that foolishness? Gosh. Okay, Ephesians 1:4. That was a paraphrase by me, folks. You all know that, don't you? Okay, through what Christ would do for us, God decided to make us holy, set apart for his service, in his eyes, without a single fault. We stand before him, covered with his love. Let me move this knot around in my throat and I can talk about it. that we stand before him covered with his love. God decided to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault through what Christ did for us. Oh, and you know, the scripture said in Ephesians what Christ would do for us. Meaning from the beginning of the age, they knew that the Messiah was coming and this is what he would do. So it was always a belief in the coming Messiah. And that you will know when he comes because this is going to happen. He comes. That happens. They didn't recognize him still to this day. Fourth step is, if you want to be healed from your hidden wounds, you have to refocus on the future. People are so caught up in the failures of the past and for hurt of the past, they're afraid of the future. If you're going to live till tomorrow or the next hour, that's the future. So I would suggest you plan on it. Job 11:13-16, put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Job said, what are you all talking about? I'm not guilty of all this stuff you all are saying, and you're telling me to be firm and courageous? He was firm and courageous. Anyway, your troubles will fade from your memory. The part of your memory that you wish that some of those would fade, have they ever really faded? Can you not pull them back up? Doesn't Satan... Yes, and they always come back. That's the reason I always tell people, like on smoking or any of their cigars or any of that stuff. Okay, until you admit that you're weak in that point, and when a person gets saved and they say, I got this conquered, no, you don't. No, you don't. If that's my addiction, I got to stay away from them. Do I? Well, I just stand beside people that smoke them so I can smell it. I don't know. Secondhand smoke, I don't know whether that's sin. See, that's the way we justify what we do. Okay. Proverbs 4:25. Look straight ahead with honest confidence. Don't hang your head in shame. Christian, why would any non-Christian want to become a Christian when they see us moping around without hope? They see us as individuals that have no hope. Well, a Christian ought to be able to laugh in the face of death because we can't die. A Christian, when we're hurting, of course, I'm a little odd, I know that. I joke about the cancer. I joke about all of this other stuff. That's the way I deal with that stuff. But frankly, does it scare me? Folks, this world frightens me a lot more than me leaving it. Leaving it's the I'll fly away, oh glory. But the hurt is there. I've got to be here. I'll be here until God says, okay, Larry, come on home. All right? So I'm going to be here. Now, why am I going to deal with all the garbage back there when God has left me here to take care and to focus on the future for those that are coming up before they euthanize us? You know, those that are coming, we have to give them that direction. Here's your fifth and last. The fifth step, 2 Corinthians 1:4. God comforts us every time we have trouble. So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort God gives us. You see, we go through it so we can help someone else and be thankful that we go through it. A lot of people will run from the trouble of life, therefore not conquering, therefore not really learning from that trouble to help our own children. And then we see them caught up in it because we ran from it and refused to deal with it. You attack it head on and go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Old things have passed away. All things become new. It doesn't mean that we don't sin. The desire of our heart is not to when we do. And we feel guilty. We feel guilty because we did it. That feeling of guilt is proof you're a Christian. If you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't feel anything, much less guilt. When people say, well, that's a non-Christian within the church, well, let me tell you something. If a non-Christian is within the church, they're not here by accident. God sent them to hear the word. They want to hear the truth or they wouldn't be here. Therefore, we are ordered by God, commanded by him, that we stand for his truth and not for what we think.